What do you think the biggest threats to press freedom are in the United States? We not the rest of the world, not in Pakistan, not in Bulgaria, not in the Czech Republic, not in the UK. In the United States, what do you think are the biggest press threats? What are the threats to press freedom? Is it the rhetoric of Donald Trump and the enemy of the people, line, the Lügenpresse in English, essentially? That's certainly a danger. That's huge. Is it the fact that he says mean things about reporters and says nasty tweets about them? Yeah, absolutely. I would say that's probably a threat. But the biggest threat, or at least the latest biggest threat coming out of the White House and the current administration, by far has got to be the new indictments that were unveiled for counts of violating the Espionage Act, which were levied against Julian Assange, the co-founder of WikiLeaks. Notorious transparency bad boy, if you will, also accused sexual assaulter, sexual assault perpetrator from charges in Sweden. The man's name does not conjure up the same image for anyone, any single person, any person out there who thinks about him. Many different things to many different people. One thing that Julian Assange and WikiLeaks are associated with, and especially with in the light of these new indictments, are the release of what are known as the Iraq war logs, especially the video known as collaborative, or I'm sorry, collateral murder, which is a video that shows U.S. forces from helicopters gunning down people who are wounded and are trying to evacuate wounded after an ambush or after an attack from an assault helicopter. They then double tap, if you will. They then go back and they circle around and shoot again and fire on a van of people, actually killing two Reuters journalists. If those who remember that, and those who remember the time when WikiLeaks released all these top secret diplomatic cables, Chelsea Manning was the army private who helped Assange release these cables, was allowed him to get these this information, these classified documents. And the U.S. government has now decided to invoke the Espionage Act against not just Manning, who has been held in solitary confinement, who was held in solitary confinement for more than a year without being charged when she was first arrested and imprisoned for these incidents, but now is using the Espionage Act to charge Julian Assange for publishing the information. Now, the reason that this is significant and the fact that we're hearing about this and the fact that this isn't at the front page of every newspaper, although it has been covered, obviously, not at the same fervor as when Facebook doesn't take down a doctored video of Nancy Pelosi slurring her words. But nonetheless, it has been covered. The reason why this is so significant is that this is the first time in U.S. history that this 1917, 1918 law has been invoked against someone who merely publishes the information that was either stolen or classified or obtained via illicit or illegal means. Now, again, the Espionage Act has been used in the past against government sources, government employees, soldiers, service members who have released information. Of course, Chelsea Manning is a very obvious one, but it's never been used against a publisher. I wouldn't call Julian Assange a journalist. I don't know necessarily. I mean, we can have debates for years about whether or not what he does constitutes journalism. I would say that it's sort of irrelevant at this point because it's almost impossible to distinguish the activities that Julian Assange and WikiLeaks engaged in releasing the Iraq war logs. It's almost impossible to distinguish those actions from the things that investigative, national security, foreign policy, and international reporters do every day, whether that is soliciting. I mean, how many ProPublica, Washington Post, Muckrock, all of these organizations that are doing investigative journalism are constantly not only make themselves available to receive classified information, but they all have their little encrypted secure drop links in their Twitter bios. This kind of not only just accepting or being available, but soliciting it from government and other sources to securely deliver classified and sensitive information to these publications is exactly what Julian Assange did. Now, these additional 17 counts for the Espionage Act violations are different from the original count, the 18th count, which is a violation of the Computer Fraud Act, or I'm sorry, the Computer Fraud Act, which has to do with Assange working with Manning to get access or to crack a password, which basically what actually happened was to allow Manning to log into the computer, the government system, under a different login so that they would be able to, that she would be able to access the documents, and leave, I guess, less of a paper trail for her. Now, to be fair, this action, this coordination, which is sort of what the original indictment hinged on, which was not related to the Espionage Act, that is the link that they are tying. That's where they're making the jump to the Espionage Act, and they're using that as the sort of inciting incident that changed the nature of the actions, or the actions by Assange, alleged actions, I should say, by Assange and Manning, from merely computer fraud and abuse to espionage under the logic of the indictment. Now, the problem with that, obviously, is that the incident in question here, this sort of coordination between these two parties, WikiLeaks on the one hand and allegedly Manning on the other, is that it occurred well after and in large part completely unrelated to the release of the majority of these documents. And again, I want to emphasize that this is about the Iraq war logs. This is one of those things where, once again, you're sort of being forced to defend. Those who believe in the principles of the freedom of the press are once again being forced to defend unseemly characters or people who don't deserve our protection, but the principle under which they're being attacked certainly does. We are not talking about Julian Assange and WikiLeaks and anything to do with Trump Russia or Hillary Clinton's emails or Podesta's emails or any of that nonsense. We're not talking about, and this is unrelated, in wholly and entirely unrelated to that entire fiasco. This is about the 2010-2011 release of the Iraq war logs. This is about the release of videos showing U.S. Service members laughing as they gun down not just unknown, suspected military age males, as they would call them. But in fact, it turned out to be two Reuters journalists, Iraqi journalists. Here's what it sounded like.